had met since Suarez was banned for racially abusing Evra. BBC News.
This is Radio 4. Now it's time for the second part of our classic serial, a brand new adaptation of a powerful piece of 18th century literature. Arthur Darvill stars in this earthy, visceral and sometimes disturbing satire on human nature.
Gulliver's Travels by Jonathan Swift. Adapted for radio by Matthew Broughton. Episode 2. The Voyage to Brobdingnag. We live in an age of cynicism, and yet there is so much in this world that can still surprise us. Please, put your doubts to one side and listen without judgment. These events concerning Dr. Gulliver are honestly told. This is a true story. I am Richard Simpson, a publisher. Dr. Gulliver requested that I meet him at his home, Redriff, in a remote village in the south. That stormy night, through a bewitched machine that produced his voice, I had heard detail of his voyage to the land of Lilliput, where he was a giant to the minuscule natives. It was the most remarkable tale I had ever heard. But more was to come.
Are you ready to continue listening, sir?
When will I be able to see Gulliver in person?
When you have heard all of the voyages. The next voyage is disturbing, sir. Do you scare easily?
Before I could answer, he had manipulated the silver lever on the machine. And again, by some wondrous magic, the voice of Gulliver emerged from it.
A new voyage was calling me, but I needed to attend to my wife and children first.
I've sold the Lilliputian livestock for a handsome price, and I've bought us a new house. We're moving to the countryside.
And I'm to live there while you're abroad?
It's called Redriff, a wonderful, large house. You'll love it.
Must you go?
Her face looked up into mine. Her bright, full eyes, her smooth, pale skin, her soft bosom where my head had lain that previous night. My wife was the most beautiful thing I had ever seen.
I want to stay with you, of course, but I must do this for you. The good money I earn will give you and the children a comfortable life. Let me look after you.
I still don't see why we can't stay in London with our friends.
In Lilliput, my closest friend betrayed me. It is hard to know who you can really trust in the city.
But society is lovely.
No, it isn't. You are too trusting, my darling. In the country, people are more human.
I was employed as surgeon on a ship called the Adventure. Our destination was Surat. The captain was John Nicholas, a Cornishman. We set sail on 20th of June, 1702. And at first, all was well. But on the Straits of Madagascar, Captain Nicholas took ill.
Is it the end of me, Gulliver?
You have the ague, Captain. You need fresh water, sir.
We must locate the nearest land. Fetch the first officer. And the maps.
But the maps were useless when a storm hit.
Seaman! Seaman!
We're old! We're sailing blind, sir!
the weather improved. But the storm left us in colder waters.
What does the captain want?
Confirmation of our position.
We don't know. The terrain is unfamiliar.
We were lost. Then, our power deserted us.
Well, there's no progress without wind.
We drifted. And the captain's health worsened. And we began to lose hope. Then...
It's to the east, sir. A large peninsula with a creek.
What strange country is it? Uncharted.
What shall we do, sir?
Cast anchor within a league. Go for fresh water, and that alone. Be quick about it. Take 2 longboats and 12 men.
Yes, Captain.
But...
Sir?
Arm the men. We don't know what's out there.
That's it. Keep it coming. Spread out. Find water. Quickly now. Oi, where are you going?
To Wanda. For my own purpose.
We're back here within an hour.
I walked a mile alone. The country was barren and rocky. There was nothing to entertain my curiosity. So I returned.
Lads! Leaving without me? No, wait! Lads!
They were rowing for their lives. Then...
What's that?
I saw why. It was a huge creature, walking after them as fast as he could, in deeper than his knees. His strides were still great.
Weigh the anchor! Get it away!
My shipmates reached the boat and set sail fast. The creature gave up its chase. Then, it turned towards the shore again. I ran into a field where the hay was 20 foot high. Into the next, where the corn was 40 foot high. And straight into a hedge, 120 foot high.
Come on, lazy dogs, work to do.
A man, tall as a steeple and taking 10 yards at every stride. He was carrying a scythe.
We're coming, aren't we?
He was followed by 4 others, all as tall, all carrying scythes.
Get on with it then, cut it down.
I was trapped between them, circled without escape. Convinced I would end my days here, sliced in two, eaten by these creatures. My poor desolate widow, my poor fatherless children.
Oh my God! My God, forgive me!
Hold up there.
You want us to work or not?
There's something here.
Please, please, please! Please don't eat me!
He lifted me between thumb and forefinger, held me close to his eyes, and squinted.
Is there a splat now?
I don't think so.
You're pinching my sides, sir!
I was in pain, or giving birth.
Here, you know what it looks like?
What?
Like a little man.
What are you going to do with him?
Well, a farmer will want to see this.
I was placed onto the kitchen table. The farmer blew on my face, his breath vile.
Curious thing.
Oh, have mercy on me!
Where did you find it?
Cornfield.
I'll do anything to be of service.
What language is he squeaking?
Dunno. Funny thing.
Most unlike a splacknug.
What's this? Why aren't you at work?
Come here, see this.
I have no time
Good evening, madam.
What is that?
She jumped back like a woman in England at the sight of a toad.
Squash it! Squash the thing!
Hey!
Hang on! Oi! You'll kill it!
It's a splacknook!
It's not.
Squash it anyway!
Could somebody please stop her?
Calm her down. It's a human creature, woman.
A human creature? Are you sure?
After she'd observed me through a magnifying glass, the farmer's wife softened.
We'll call him Grildrake.
I joined the family for dinner. The farmer, his wife, and their daughter, who was 9, and who I liked very much.
Glumdalclitch. I'm your Glumdalclitch. Can you say Glumdalclitch?
Why do you keep saying Glumdalclitch?
Glumdalclitch, that's right.
What's a Glumdalclitch?
He can say Glumdalclitch.
I don't know why you're repeating the word Glumdalclitch. Is it a family tradition?
You're Grildrake. Me, I'm Glumdalclitch.
Oh, it's your name. I'm Gulliver Glumdalclitch. Very pleased to meet you.
Oh, I think I love him.
She was small, only 40 feet high, and very sweet of nature. Without Glumdalclitch, I would not be here today.
Ready to eat?
The dish was 4 and 20 foot in diameter and filled with steaming meat.
Here, Grildrake, I've minced a morsel for you and crumbed some bread.
It was absolutely disgusting.
I think he likes it.
And a thimble for drinking.
That's not bad.
He likes the booze too.
Later, in the parlour, sat on a cushion, I sipped at a thimble of milk. While the farmer smoked his pipe and his wife knitted, Glumdalclitch taught me more of their language. I picked it up quickly. Then, to my surprise, another member of the family entered. A baby in the arms of a nursemaid.
Evening, sir. Madam.
How's the child?
Ready for a feed, ma'am.
Oh, do what you must.
I thought I had beheld horrors in my life. But nothing had prepared me for this moment. No object ever disgusted me so much as the sight of that monstrous breast. It stood prominent, 6 foot and 16 in circumference, the nipple as big as my head, the dug rank with spots, pimples, freckles, spikes of hair and dark holes, the skin rough, sore, raw, blood red and chewed by teeth and sucked. My milk curdled in my throat and I felt almost sickened.
Oh my God.
Could it be that the fair skins of our English ladies appear beautiful to us only because they're of our own size and the defects cannot be seen?
Glumdalclitch, I'm tired.
You can sleep here for now, Grildrake.
The bed was between 200 and 300 foot wide.
Leave him be. Come on.
Yes, Mother. Sleep well, Grildrake.
Exhausted, I slept.
What's that?
Rats, the size of mastiffs, one either side. But I slept with my sword ready. I ripped the belly of one, thoroughly dispatched it, and felled the other. Their tails were 2 foot long, but I got them.
Oh. Still alive, eh?
I slit its throat.
Ha!
Ha!
Oh,
Grildrake! You're covered in blood!
Oh, it's not mine! No, don't panic. It's not mine.
Rats! I'm so sorry, Grildrake.
She threw the bodies out the window. But I needed her attention. The meat I'd eaten. The cider. The horror of that nipple. the attack of the rats. I pointed to the door.
You want to go outside? Are you sure?
Into the garden. Oh, I need to go now.
What are you up to?
I ducked behind two leaves of sorrel and discharged the necessity of nature.
Oh. Ah, that's better.
Oh, I see.
Word's got round the village. A man, no bigger than a splacknuck. People are curious.
What's your point?
Where there's curiosity, there's money to be made.
Will people pay to see him?
Oh, yeah. And in the city, they'll pay more.
I could do with more padding in here!
Hold that box level. Don't bruise him. He needs to look his best.
Yes, Daddy.
I was taken to an inn in the city where a crowd had gathered.
Where is it then?
I bet it's just a splacknuck.
There may not be this price.
Silence, please! Quiet now! You'll frighten him!
Oh, yeah.
Shh! Behold! A miracle.
A miracle, is it?
The tiniest man in Brobdingnag. Say hello to Mr. Grilldrig.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, we're on it.
That ain't no splatnock.
Speak our language, Grilldrig.
Very pleased to meet you.
Oh, show us your skill with the sword.
For you, master.
I was rehearsed in my performance. I displayed my fopperies, capers, and dances. I sang. I recited Brobdingnagian poetry. I bowed. I showed the crowd all my skills until I was exhausted.
Now that was a show.
Bravo!
You're too kind.
Yeah! Very good.
Nice work, Grilldrig. We're making a pretty penny here.
That first week, I performed these feats 10 times a day for 10 audiences.
And, ladies and gentlemen, by removing his clothes...
No, go on, then.
I can prove that he is not clockwork.
The shirt and stockings can come off, but I do draw the line at my underwear.
It's okay, Grilldrig.
Get on with it.
Ta-da! These are my legs.
Ooh. He's real all right, the little beggar.
Yeah.
The second week, I performed 12 times a day. By the third week, I was exhausted.
Let's have a look. Can't see him out of the way. Out of way, can't see him.
Thank you. Thank you.
Have someone to shoot us?
Oi!
Get that boy out of here!
Hey!
You could have taken my head off!
It's only a hazelnut!
I'm down!
I can't take much more of this!
Poor little Grilldrig.
The farmer wanted more from me than I could give. Glumbleclitch tried to speak for me.
He's exhausted, Daddy. He can't take any more.
Nonsense.
He's turning into a skeleton. He ain't well. He needs rest.
But we must make as much from him as we can before he dies. Tomorrow, he'll do 15 shows. Now get him ready. Next performance is due.
I'm sorry, Grilldrig.
Oh, don't worry, sweet Glumdalclitch. I'm fine. I've never felt better.
Okay, okay, we've all had a drink.
Yeah, one or two.
Here he comes then, Mr. Grilldrake.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Show us a dance then.
Oh, I'm sorry, Master, but I...
Is he dead?
No. Make him better, Daddy. What have we done to you?
No, I'm...
Grilldrake.
I'm fine.
Excuse me. My name is Slantraw. I witnessed the performance this evening.
You saw him. He danced. No refunds.
I'm an envoy of Her Majesty the Queen. She's heard about your show.
Oh.
Is the little man okay?
Fighting fit.
Her Majesty has instructed me to make you an offer.
To buy him?
He's very dear to me. Like a pet dog or a daft son. I couldn't take less than 100.
1,000 gold pieces?
Oh. Well, that sounds... reasonable.
He'd live at court, of course.
The farmer, being certain my death was imminent, was happy to sell.
If he dies at some point, there'd be no comebacks.
Can I come to court with him, sir? I'm his nursemaid.
Continuity is preferable.
Daughter of mine living at court.
So we have a deal.
Father has gone home. It's been decided.
What has?
You and me. We're going to the palace.
I immediately felt a little better.
Please be upstanding. For the ornament of nature, the darling of the world, the phoenix of creation, the delight of her subjects... Her Royal Majesty, the Queen!
That's enough trumpets. Who am I meeting?
The young lady is Glumdalclitch, Your Majesty.
It's an honour, ma'am.
Speak when you're spoken to.
Sorry, ma'am.
And what do you do?
I look after Mr. Grilldrake, ma'am. I'm his nursemaid.
And he's in the box, is he?
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see him then.
Your Majesty, I am your most humble servant.
Ah, it's true then. He speaks and smaller than a splacknuck. How interesting.
May I kiss your royal foot, Your Majesty?
That's a little ambitious. Here, my fingertip.
I embraced her finger in both arms.
He's everything you said, Sladrill. Charming, quite charming. Fetch my dwarf.
I'm here, ma'am.
The court dwarf stepped forward. He was a mere 30 foot in height, and he looked angry.
You're no longer the shortest man at court, are you, dwarf? As of now, I am relieving you of your rank. Consider yourself demoted.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm very sorry.
Bum liquor.
Oh, did you hear that?
Did you pay the 2,000 gold coins I gave you, Sladrill?
Got him for 1,000, ma'am.
Oh, I love a bargain. You amuse me, Grilldrake. Perhaps we'll keep you in the palace.
Thank you, ma'am.
We'd like that, ma'am.
But the decision is my husband's. Take him to the king.
And it's not a splacknut?
No, sir. A man.
He was staring at me, using a magnifier glass.
A man? Or an embryo of a man?
Fully grown, sir. I have the stubble of a beard.
But you're not a dwarf.
I come from a place where there are millions of my stature.
Do you really?
It is a place called England. Would you like to hear of it?
Perhaps later. You, child.
Yes, sir.
You and this Grilldrake seem to have an affection for each other.
Oh, yes, sir, we do.
Continue to tend him. You can remain in court for now.
Thank you, sir.
Let's see how you get on.
It's perfect.
The Queen's cabinet maker created a box that was a bedchamber for me.
I think we should paint it eggshell blue.
It stood 12 foot high, had sash windows, a door, and two closets, like a London apartment. The board that made the ceiling was lifted by two hinges. There were chairs with backs of ivory, tables, a cabinet, and the floor and walls were padded in case it got a jolt.
It meets your approval, Grildry.
It looked dreadful. Horribly fashionable.
It is wonderful, Your Majesty.
There's a hammock, too.
I have another gift for you.
The Queen presented me with a new suit.
The thinnest silk available. The style is exotic. My taste.
Thank you, Your Majesty.
Dress him, nursemaid.
The King summoned me to dine with him and his counsellor.
So then, tell me about this England of yours.
I told him of our impeccable manners, the profundity of our religions, the justice of our laws, the sagacity of our government, the greatness of our learning, the ambition of our trades, and the ferocity of our armies at war by sea and land. I believe I gave a passionate and detailed account of what it is to be an Englishman.
You love this country of yours very much, don't you?
Proudly so.
So, are you a Whig or a Tory?
Sir?
Did you hear all that, Sladrill?
I did, sir.
How contemptible a thing is human grandeur when it can be mimicked by a diminutive insect like this? What strutting pomposity! Ridiculous, isn't it?
I suppose there are the foolish among us, some lords who I've laughed at in the past, but we have our dignity and we are no joke. Oh, no, no joke at all. Oh!
It entered the room as large as a Dunstable lark.
It's only a fly.
It landed on the meat dish, where only I could see that it left its loathsome excrement and spawn before taking to the air again.
Brush it away, no. Ma'am.
Then it landed on my forehead.
Get it off me!
And stuck there.
Get it off me! Help me! Hey! No!
It left a viscous matter on my face that smelt very offensive.
This is priceless! The Queen will laugh about this!
I cut it to pieces with my sword as it flew in the air.
There. That wasn't so bad, was it? The proud and noble Englishman defeats a mighty fly.
Sir, you make fun of me and my country. But we're much like Brobdingnag.
What do you know of my country, Gulliver?
I have been told many things.
Nothing, then. Only tales. You're deluded. You don't know what our real life is. And you never will. Not until you see it for yourself. Close up.
Then I shall do that, sir.
Good. But be careful, little man.
That's the city wall, Grildrick.
I was shown the country.
Brobdingnag is about 6,000 miles in length, I think. We have 51 cities, but this is the capital.
Ooh. Are we going to the West End?
The east of the city. The King's suggestion.
To visit the Great Market? See a diverting show?
No. There's a public execution. This is as close as we'll get.
I didn't think you'd like such occasions, Glumbleclitch.
No, I don't.
But they are curious, I suppose.
Who are they executing today?
Him, who murdered a gentleman. Here he comes.
The murderer was on the scaffold. His head was cut off at a blow with a sword of 40 foot. The veins and arteries spouted a prodigious quantity of blood high into the air. The head bounced on the ground.
I want to leave here.
Are you okay?
No.
I sat in Glumbleclitch's breast pocket as we made our way back through the city.
What is it, driver?
We were delayed by an accident. A horse had fallen and upended its carriage. While we waited for a path through, the local beggars, seeing their chance, crowded to the sides of our coach.
I don't like the look of this.
The faces at the open window, leaning in, the most horrible spectacle.
Spare coin for a mother, miss.
There was a woman with a cancer in her breast, swelled to a monstrous size, full of holes that I could have crept inside.
Support an old sailor.
There was a fellow with a wen in his neck, larger than 5 wool packs.
I ain't had no legs since my birth. Help me.
Another with wooden legs, each 20 foot high and teeth green, black rotted stumps.
Oh, get them away!
But they paid no attention and crowded onto us, blocking out the light. But the most hateful sight of all was the lice crawling on their clothes. I could see the limbs of these vermin with my naked eye, and their snouts that rooted like swine. And the stench, the lice, and these things that were supposed to be people. A great ugliness of humanity.
No! 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 No!
Ah! Hello, little Grimdrig. Don't worry, tiny chap. There are no nasty beggars here.
Everybody at court had heard.
Poor Grimdrig.
Every misadventure that befell me became gossip in court now. They laughed when I slipped in the gardens.
Straight into a cow pen.
And when I got caught in a hailstorm.
He hid under a toadstool.
Those hailstones were the size of tennis balls.
Absolutely everything about me amused them.
And then what happened?
The dog picked Grimdrig up in his mouth like a bone and ran around the field.
I was nearly killed.
You're better value than our dwarf.
Best money we've ever spent.
In short, I was a joke. Fair game to all for humiliation. It was open season.
Glumbleclitch?
Yes?
We'd like to invite Grimdrig to our wing tonight.
The Queen has sanctioned it.
A man with young ladies in their private apartment? Is that proper?
Grimdrig doesn't count as a man.
But what do you want him for?
To play with him.
Let's see what's under your clothes, Grimdrig.
Please! It's not seemly.
Look at that. The little man is a little man.
He's so soft to stroke, though.
Ladies, I beg you.
His skin is beautiful.
Another glass, yes?
Need you ask?
They were drinking a lot.
Hey, pop him into your cleavage.
Ladies, for your own modesty, I wouldn't suggest that.
Bitch! I'm a full-blooded man!
I bet you like it in there, Grildrig.
I didn't. The perfumes they used were strong enough to make me swoon.
Put him on the side now. I want to try some of these new dresses.
Help me out of this one, and I'll help you out of yours.
I was a creature of no consequence to them. They stripped naked in front of me without a blush.
Do you like my body, Grildrig?
Please don't mock me.
How about my bosoms, Grildrig?
I thought of my wife and her modesty and gentle beauty.
Oh, I've drunk too much. I need to go.
Nothing was sacred before me.
You're terrible, you.
They were pleasant and frolicsome girls. Considered great beauties in society, but not to me. They made me sit astride their nipples and many other tricks that I can't bring myself to describe and will leave to your imagination. They did not treat me like a real man. Word got to court, of course.
Oh, Grildrig, you are funny.
My name is Gulliver, ma'am. Born in Nottingham. I am an Englishman. I am married to Mary Burton. And I want to go home.
Oh, stop it! Stop it!
Think you're funny, don't you?
No, dwarf, I don't.
The Queen's dwarf had taken against me since I stole his place in court. One morning in the palace gardens, I was sitting under an apple tree, alone.
Let's see how you like this!
You'll kill me!
Oh, no! Really? How awful! Come here!
Unhand me!
Look what I've got here!
You wouldn't!
He pushed the jar filled with wasps towards my face, and he twisted the lid to open it.
Bye, bye.
No! I'm going to die! I'm going to die! Help me!
Get away from him! Now! Nothing to do with you!
Shoo! Away! And you, dwarf, before I speak with the Queen.
I'll see you later, freak.
Did they sting you? Oh, you look sad.
I can't take it anymore.
The dwarf?
Among everything else.
We'll speak to someone.
Oh, it won't make any difference. I lurch from one humiliation to the next, and now my life is under threat.
Let me hug you.
No, you're hurting me, Glumdalclitch. I can't even be embraced here. Not properly, not like my wife embraces me.
He's been attacked more than once.
If the dwarf has been misbehaving, then he will be dealt with. Bring him forward.
He's here, ma'am.
Majesty.
Did you attack Grildrig with apples and wasps?
It was a joke.
Gulliver.
Not a funny joke!
Yes, well, we have a confession, I suppose. Sladril.
Ma'am.
Take the dwarf to be whipped. Will you accept your punishment, dwarf?
Yes, ma'am.
Satisfaction, Grildrig?
Yes, ma'am.
Good. Then we're all happy.
But life in Brobdingnag Nag was not happy for me.
Keep still, dwarf.
He'll pay. The tiny bastard will pay.
A few weeks later, after dinner, Glumdalclitch wasn't around. I didn't mean to be alone. But I was, and a little groggy with the drink I'd taken to drown my paranoia and sorrows.
Oh. Got you. And no witnesses.
You're hurting me!
That's the intention.
It was Glumdalclitch who told the Queen, not me!
No loyalty to your only true friend, eh? Stop squirming, or I'll bite your head off immediately. How ignominious shall your end be?
My end?
I'm going to murder you.
You'll be found out!
Will I? Look what I can see.
A large silver bowl filled with cream. He held me over it.
The sides are so slippery, the cream deep. You'll drown. People will suppose you were drunk and you leaned too far, driven by greed. Wouldn't that be a terrible accident?
No. You and I are the same, dwarf!
No, we're not.
Small, alone, given names that do not belong to us. We're brothers! Don't you see? We can only find strength if together we...
Shut up!
No, no!
I was out of my depth and trying to swim, but the cream dragged me down. I slipped and struggled against the silver walls. I swallowed above a quart of cream. I bloated and drowned. Except I didn't. How I dragged myself out, I don't know. But Glumdalclitch found me hanging over the edge of the bowl.
Oh, dear thing. Oh.
It was only a matter of time before he killed me. Nowhere was safe.
Are we feeling better, Grildrig?
I am in mortal danger.
We've had the dwarf removed from court. If he's found in your company again, he will be executed.
If not him, something or someone else will finish
me. You have to admit, it was bloody funny, though, wasn't it?
No, sir.
You dare disagree with the king?
I do, sir. It was not funny. I may be small, but I have my dignity.
Watch yourself, Grildrig. Tread very carefully.
I wish to speak to the king alone.
Do you know what you're doing?
Something I should have done a long time ago.
How amusing.
Grown a backbone, have you? Very well. Slederal.
I'll arrange it, sir.
Should I come?
This is for me alone.
Speak your mind.
I am unhappy with my life here. I wish to be taken seriously.
I take your tone very seriously.
You laugh at me. You insult my nation.
England.
You don't understand the greatness of my homeland. I demand it is respected.
Demand? Eh? I have enjoyed your time with us. Perhaps I owe you my attention. Yes. Here is your moment, then. Persuade me. I am listening.
Thank you, sir.
How I wished I had the tongue of Demosthenes or Cicero to celebrate and praise my country in a style equal to its merits and felicity. But I talked of our islands and dominions, the fertility of our soil, our temperate climate, our politicians picked by the people themselves, our bishops, our spiritual fathers who instruct us of our religion, our dedicated, hard-working teachers and doctors, our inspired artists, our judges who champion justice, and our lords who oversee
all. I spoke at great length and in detail, and I spoke well, I think, for several hours, in defence of all I hold dear. And as I spoke, it made me miss my home. I wanted to be in England again. The king took notes. And when I finished, he had questions.
These lords, politicians, bishops, judges, scientists, teachers, doctors, artists, and other luminaries who rule your country...
Yes, sir?
Are they entirely free from avarice, partiality, bribery, and other sins?
Truthfully? Well, no.
I see. And these elections you speak of?
Yes, sir.
Do men with strong purses influence the voters?
Truthfully, yes.
I see. These courts of justice, these trials...
Yes, sir.
The advocates and orators plead causes manifestly known to be unjust, vexatious, or oppressive?
Yes.
I see. The treasury.
Yes, sir.
The figures you mentioned. How is a kingdom run of its estate like a private person, eh? Who are your creditors?
I don't know.
You keep a standing army during peacetime?
There is very little peacetime.
Not much motivation for it.
He went on. On. Questioning. Dismantling my speech brick by brick.
It is a heap of conspiracies, rebellions, murders, massacres, revolutions, banishments. And the very worst effects that avarice, faction, hypocrisy, perfidiousness, cruelty, rage, madness, hatred, envy, lust, malice, or ambition could produce. Is it not?
But it's my home, sir.
This is your England, Grildrig. In your country, men are not ennobled on account of their virtue, but the very opposite.
It's not perfect, but we strive. We try. And other countries look up to us.
Do they? Really? I hope you, through travel, have escaped the vices of your country. But from all you have said, I can only conclude that the bulk of your natives are the most pernicious race of odious little vermin that nature ever suffered to crawl upon the surface of the earth.
We have something that you don't have in Brobdingnag.
What?
Gunpowder.
Explain.
I began with the basic properties, then went into the detail of its application. The king sat in shocked awe as I spoke. He was impressed.
When the proper quantity is used, it will drive a ball of iron or lead with such violence and speed as nothing will withstand its force. It will cut through masts and rigging, divide hundreds of bodies and lay waste all before it. If you are besieging a city, it will rip up pavements, tear houses to pieces, burst and throw splinters on every side and dash out the brains of all who come near. That, Your Majesty, is gunpowder. And I have its secret. I will offer this recipe as a tribute to Your Majesty. You may use it to enforce your rule. And in return, I expect only favour and royal protection.
Grildrig.
There was disgust on his face.
You speak of inhuman things in so familiar a manner. You, who is an impotent and grovelling insect, seem wholly unmoved by these scenes of blood and desolation.
But can't you see the power it would give you?
Silence. If you value your life, you will never speak of these things again.
I could not survive, and I could never get home. I was not invited into the king's company again, nor the queen. They did not wish me in their presence. Such was their disgust. Glumdalclitch and I moved to the outskirts of court, where we lived a quiet life of banishment. I now had a reputation for cruelty and cold malice. Nobody liked me. Every day, dear Glumdalclitch took me in my travelling box for a walk. She was the only human I could bear to be with, or indeed could bear to be with me.
I miss my wife so much.
But you have me.
You're 9 years old, Glumdalclitch.
Yes, and I'm your friend, and I will always look after you.
No, you don't.
What?
Understand me. You can't...
But I love you, Gildrig.
And I love you too, my little nursemaid.
On one of these walks, poor Glumdalclitch put me down for a moment to rest.
Gildrig! Gildrig!
An eagle swooped and got the ring on my box in its beak. It took me up and flew me a great distance, until it dropped me in the sea. Over 4 hours, the water seeped through, and I expected to die, all the while thinking about how poor Glumdalclitch was now quite alone without me. And then...
If there be anybody below, let them speak. Who is it? Who are you? Get ropes. There's a man inside there. Are you hurt?
What creatures are you?
Creatures? No, we're Englishmen. Now let's get you out of here. Take my hand.
God, what's happened to him?
Are you scared, son?
You're all so tiny. What's the matter with you all? You're all so very... Tiny.
The captain was Thomas Wilcox of Shropshire, and he was kind to me and left me alone in a cabin. I could not face any of these tiny people. Their size did not fool me. I had seen humankind up close. I knew how disgusting they were. The ship travelled west-southwest, then southwest-south, till we doubled the Cape of Good Hope. Our voyage was prosperous, though when we stopped at ports, I stayed on board alone.
Land there! It's home, sir!
Good lads! Take us in, then!
We arrived in England the third day of June, 1706. 4 years after I had left, and 9 months after I had escaped from Brobdingnag. I hired a horse to take me to my wife, who was now at our new house, at Redriff.
Lemuel, my love.
Who are you?
I am your wife. Don't you remember?
Oh, yes.
May I kiss you?
Please. Please don't touch me.
What has happened?
I can't talk of it. Not now.
Come inside. Let's make it better. But Lemuel, you should never go to sea anymore.
In a little time, I accommodated the revulsion I felt towards my wife and other people of my own size.
Yes, Mary and I reconciled. But in fear of the state of mind she had found me in, she repeated her desire that I should not go to sea again. I could not promise this. My evil destiny ordered such that she had not the power to hinder me.
Does this mean that there is more to hear tonight?
Oh, yes, sir. There's more. And the horror much, much darker in the next voice, sir. And when you've heard it, my master will see you. Oh, yes. Gulliver will meet you. Face to face.
On my next voyage, my life changed forever. And I saw the terrible answer to the universe.
In episode 2, Gulliver was played by Arthur Darvill. Richard Simpson and Slanderall were played by Matthew Gravel. The King by Sam Dale. The Dwarf by Gareth Pierce. The Queen by Lynn Seymour. The Farmer's Wife by Claire Cage. And Glumdalclitch and Mary by Bethan Walker. Other parts were played by members of the company. Gulliver's Travels was adapted by Matthew Broughton. It was directed by Sam Hoyle and is a BBC Cymru Wales production.
And you can hear the third and final part next Sunday. After the news, William Boyd in Open Book.
When my son was a baby, the thing that used to make him laugh more than anything was me going,
meh, 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 meh.
The noise Oliver Hardy makes after he's been hit on the head.
The sound of an Australian batsman's stumps being shattered.
And there it is.
The home of radio comedy.
Funniest sound.
Funniest sound is someone falling down a well.
The funniest sound for me is the noise that Susan Kalman makes each time she's on the news quiz and we play table football and she loses. She makes a sort of...
BBC Radio 4.
We are reasonably amusing.